The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Matt, how you doing, buddy?
In Joe County, what's going on, huh?
Yeah, you know, I look forward to those interviews that you do with Daily Torch. It's a conversation, and it's not just you grilling him and then, you know, him coming back with answers. I just really like how that plays out.
Well, that was kind of the design of it, and Rick actually enjoys doing them too because it's less structured, and sometimes I think we end up learning more and having that that kind of relaxed pace. Not that I will never do the Joe Rogan thing in which I will talk about one thing for 3 hours. That won't happen. But you know, still, sometimes I think you're able to learn a little bit more that way, and especially.
I was going to say some things come up that might not come up in a normal interview.
That is a part of the process. I'm glad you enjoy that, very much so.
I do. So I wanted to touch on immigration. I've been saying this for like 20 years to friends. When you look at immigration, there's a few things to consider. It's never people say, oh, why do they come here? That's never the first question. The first question is always, why are they leaving? And this morning as you were talking, this just hit me. If you think about how we broke away from England, look who our leaders were. We had some of the most brilliant men who've ever walked the face of the planet. These were studied men. They considered so many factors when it came to putting together the Declaration of Independence, certainly the Constitution, the amount of debate that went on of what the government would look like, having three branches, which you guys also touched on.
Yeah, well, essentially what you're talking about, though, is that they were some of the, the wild salmon. They were the wild salmon of the population. They wanted to break free and go for a better hunting ground, so to speak.
They did. But on top of that, they were brilliant. I mean, they wrote the greatest legal documents the world had ever seen and to this day has ever seen. When you look at these other countries from where people are migrating from, those people don't exist. They don't have a deep bench of brilliant men and women who are prepared to run a government and to, you know, make it great again, so to speak. It just doesn't exist. Now, you look at a few places like El Salvador, you have Bukele. He's a smart guy, and they're lucky to have had him in because now, I mean, I know people say he's violated people's civil rights and all this by locking up thousands of criminals. But the fact is, his country is safer now than it's been in, what, 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
And then you had Bolsonaro in Brazil, but look what happened. Their Supreme Court is very, very powerful there. They let Lula out, and then he wins the election. They're using all the same machines that we used here, and there are a lot of people who aren't happy about the outcome. But this is part of the problem. These nations don't have a Benjamin Franklin, a George Washington, a Thomas Jefferson, a Madison.
That is true, but on the other hand, that does not mean that we are obligated to take the take their population here because of that lack.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me.
All right.
I'm still ticked because at what point should they say, look, Rick made a great point. They are literally draining their worker pool. Now, they're also draining their prisons. Trump's 100% correct. They're obviously draining their prisons and their insane asylums, all the other things. That is happening for sure. But there are people coming here who are people who would be great workers in their own countries. But they've decided not to fight. They've decided that, look, there's no point. In Mexico's case, the government is run by the cartels. It's not just the border.
Yeah, there's no point in fighting that, so you're going to leave. Yeah. It would behoove us, though, to strengen those other governments, though, to be a little more forthright or properly structured, wouldn't you think?
Well, let me ask you a question, because I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
How would you go about that? Because we've been giving these countries money for, 40 years? And nothing changes. I mean, Mexico's gotten worse.
Well, maybe, and maybe, I don't know. Do you get back to the point where you actually have the CIA doing what the CIA used to do, but do it better. I don't know. Instead of turning on its own people. Seriously.
I mean, that's the road you walk down. Look what happened in Iran. You know, we put the Shah in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christians were happy and people seemed to be living more of an Americana life. And then, you know, they get an overthrow of the government.
And then it blew up. Yeah. I'll have to think about that one. Got to run, but we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk soon, man. All right.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Outdoor Report. We got Mr. Outdoor standing by. We're going to talk with him here in a couple of minutes. And, of course, we always appreciate his take on what's going on. And I don't know if there's anything really controversial going on. We'll find out. A couple of minutes. Right back. Bill Maher Show, KMED.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop. Clark Castle Trailers, where the customers came. Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
You're hearing the Bill Maher Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Maher.
Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts, Rogue Weather. Welcome back. How you doing, Greg?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing excellently. Thinking about a pretty good weekend coming up and Outdoor Report every Friday morning. What do you think is going to be the big news over the next few days? Is what to do in the outdoors, how to go out and decompress, and how much rain we're going to have one way or the other. What about the hunting? Yeah, just give it all to us.
Okay, well, your last part about what you said about rain, that's the big thing.
Okay.
And we're going to be split, you know, this weekend. It's going to be, tomorrow's going to be a case of, well, there might be a chance for some showers around by later in the afternoon, but it's Sunday. Sunday's the big day. We're going to be looking at something we have not really seen very much of so far for the Western Oregon rifle deer season, and that's going to be rain and significant rain, and I'm overjoyed to see it because there is a hunt I've been wanting to do that I have been waiting for just such a day, and we're going to have it. So it's, you know, going to be a really good, steady, potentially at times heavy rain coming down. And I say potentially heavy, that will depend on where you are. Medford, not so much. Grants Pass, maybe.
More so, yeah.
Yeah, Cascades, where I'm going to be, absolutely. And so really looking forward to that. We're also going to be seeing snow levels coming down. And Medford National Weather Service is still talking about the possibility of winter weather advisories going up, and I think this is going to be more of a Sunday night into Monday thing, but we will see snow levels coming down. Well, I'm seeing some stuff a little bit later next week, possibly as low as 3,500 feet. Medford, we're going to be high in the 70s today. I think by the time we get to Wednesday next week, we're going to be struggling just to reach the mid-40s.
Boy.
So it's not just a wet change. It's going to be much colder change. And at this time of the year, that is definitely going to mean snow in the mountains. And, you know, the Cascades next week. Not this weekend, and I want to stress that again. People have been asking, not this weekend, but next week, from Monday on out, we probably will be seeing some travel impacts. Basically, Highway 62 north, it could get further south than that. But right now, the best chances for it line out from 62 all the way to Mount Hood. So if you had travel plans over the Cascades, well, winter driving season is definitely going to be here. The official start will be next. next Friday, the 1st of November, that's when you can have studded tires on. That's when chain the carry chain in the snow zone requirements go into effect. But like I said, we're definitely going to be seeing winter driving conditions develop in the Cascades in the days ahead of that.
You know, the warm weather that we've had in the fall, you know, that we've had in this fall, have kind of numbed us to the change of the season. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's going to be November next week. We got Thanksgiving in about, you know, 3.5-4 weeks. And that's good.
Yeah.
It's going to be about,
we were a month out from Thanksgiving yesterday. So, you know, what we what we sometimes see happen is exactly what's happening this year, where we have a fall that has been really dry, really warm. It's like you flip a light switch and you make an abrupt turn the other direction. And one extreme, more often than not, gets followed by another. And that's exactly what's happening this year. And I had said weeks ago that I thought the second half the Cascade or the Western Oregon deer rifle season was really going to be the best part of the season to be out in, at least in terms of help from the weather. That's exactly the way it's going to work out, because the Western Oregon rifle season for deer runs through November 8th. Then we've got Cascade Rifle Elk starting on the 9th, and everything is coming together this year that it looks like we're going to have superior conditions for the Cascade Rifle Elk season like we have not seen probably since the 80s, when the season was back in November. And then, of course, they made the fateful decision to move it to October. And where it would have been this year, it would have been dry, and we would have had that huge hunter super moon, and the elk would have just gone nocturnal, and it would have been, you know, a really lousy season for elk hunters. Great for the elk, lots of escapement for the elk. But thankfully, with the season being where it is, this year especially, looks like it's going to be just an awesome year for that Cascade Rifle Elk.
By the way, would this weekend be a good weekend for, as you have termed it before, the cast and blast, where you do some fishing and then do some blasting? What do you think? Or is it blast and cast?
Yeah. Tomorrow would be one of those days, because once we hit Sunday, with the way the weather's going to be on Sunday, the deer are going to be up and active all day long. When you get rain like this and the heavy overcast and it's dark conditions out there in the landscapes, even in the middle of the day with that heavy cloud cover, deer will be out and active all day. So Saturday, yeah, kind of a cast and blast. But Sunday, no, I absolutely would not take the foot off the gas, as it were, when it comes to hunting. And Sunday is definitely the kind of day that you can get out and you can start walking around, because the sound of the rain's going to mask you. The rain will also take your scent away really quickly. So, yeah, Sunday is my absolute perfect kind of a day to be out hunting, to really be moving through the woods, because you can basically do it, you know, like a ghost. And that's exactly what you need on these kind of conditions.
All right, well, go get your buck, okay? I look forward to hearing more about that. Before we take off, though, what is the deal with the spiking on some of the forest roads? Is there any, you know, traditional enemy out there? Is this just Bambi protectors, or is this, you know, people just don't want anybody out of the public land? Any idea on that?
I don't know for sure what the motivation on that is. This kind of thing happens. They'll string wires and fishing line across mountain biking trails up at Mount Ashland. It's the same kind of mentality in play here. You know, it's sad. There's people that go off the deep end and then decide they're going to engage in activity like this. Like I said, a lot of different motivators for it. You can't just pin it all down into one thing, although that said, I do think that it's more the, quote, environmentalist, unquote, that will be behaving in that fashion than, you know, your regular citizen. The flip side of that is, you know, you definitely see people try and disguise public lands and public right-of-ways as private. That definitely happens. I saw that actually on Monday when I was out doing a little scouting in the Siskiyou south of town. There was a road. I know exactly what it is, and it's a BLM throughway. You've got access and right-of-way because of it being BLM going through private land. And the way they marked it off, if you didn't know for sure what it was, I could see somebody coming and looking and going, well, great, you know, they've got more land here they've locked up. And it's like, no, not really. The road itself is open, and you are going to go through about roughly a mile of private land, and then you're going to pop back out into BLM on the other side. So, you know, there's a lot of different things happening out there that having something like Onyx or good detailed maps from BLM and Forest Service let you know exactly where you're at. Yeah, it's a requirement at this time of the year, especially for hunters to be able to know, because the flip side of it is, as I've said many times, if you're out there hunting and you wind up on private property and you get caught on private property and cited and you have to appear in court, saying you didn't know is never going to be a defense a judge anywhere is going to buy.
Yeah, make sure you have the good maps available, that's for sure. Yeah. All right.
Honestly, Onyx,
yeah?
Less than $30 for an entire year.
What is Onyx? I'm not familiar with that.
I'm using it all the time.
What is Onyx, though?
Onyx is an online app that it essentially does all the mapping out to show you exactly what is private and what is government-owned. You know, out around the Butte Falls area, there's even still some parcels that are held by the state. There's one notable parcel of land coming up the highway that Jackson County actually owns. There's a rock pit right there, but it's more than just the rock pit. Onyx is probably the best convenient tool I have ever seen for that purpose.
All right, very good. Now, the thing is, though, can you map it out before you leave? Because a lot of times you don't necessarily have online access in some places when you're out doing your hunt or your fish.
Absolutely, you can. And then the other genius thing about Onyx is anywhere that you get to that, you know, you're like, hey, this was a good spot, I've got to remember this spot, You can GPS mark it out. You know, Garmin has devices you can use that do this. But Onyx, it's just real simple. It's right there on your phone. You can send information quickly to, you know, buddies in your hunting party. And we use this tool. I'll tell you what, over the course of the last 3 years, that's kind of become my go-to use it tool to do all kinds of things out there. And like I said, it's a great reference point to immediately know when you're sitting somewhere who owns the land I'm either on or about to go through.
All right, and very good.
It will tell you, and that's why I said I was kind of shocked to find out there's still state holdings out there around Butte Falls. The county has a pretty sizable chunk of land going up the highway right there around the rock pit. Used to be right there by the old Midway store when it existed.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for the suggestion. I'm sure that'll help a bunch of people out there. Greg, great weekend. Let's hear about a success next week, okay? Let's hear about that,
all
right?
Yeah, for sure. And then the other thing is, as we look further out into November, because we're seeing some pretty good data, November, especially the first half of the month, is lining out as really cold. And so skiers, snowboarders, snowmobilers, anybody who loves to go play in the snow, this is definitely looking like it is not going to be a repeat of last year. It looks like we're definitely going to be picking up early significant snow in the mountains, and that definitely starts next week. And so Mount Ashland, with the new lift, the Lithia lift going in and going to be ready for the season, it looks like we're going to have a great long Mount Ashland season for people to enjoy that, and quite frankly a great long season for all of our ski areas from Shasta all the way north up through Canada.
We'll take the La Nina for what it's worth. All right, Greg, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Get your buck and you can tell us all about it then. And Greg Roberts over at rogueweather.com. You take care. We'll see you then. Okay?
You got it, Bill.
All right. 732 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. course, Greg Roberts holds down the fort at rogueweather.com. Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford, 732. Hey, coming up in the next few minutes, we're going to get Richard Emmons on. We're going to have a little conversation about the Oregon Eagle. He's the publisher and editor there, and they're doing a great job. Just got the election version of it in my mail yesterday, and we'll talk about some of the stories, including, is Oregon a one-party state now? Have we already transitioned to that? We'll talk about that and more.
For over four decades, Dusty's Transmissions has been your trusted source for top-notch service. Family-owned since 1979, Dusty's has been keeping...
They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on clouserdrilling.com. 734 News is coming up next. Then we'll talk with Richard Emmons from the Oregon Eagle, like I just mentioned. We've had a lot of serious talk, like I said, last hour with Kamala and everything. We need the dad joke of the day. Dad joke of the day is sponsored by friends over at Two Dogs Fabricating. I'm just trying to get my notes straight here. Of course, I know this. You know, a lot of the stuff I do off memory, and it's okay, just look on the paper, Bill, all right? Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And by the way, the deal they have going on right now, they have a number of 7x14 dump trailers, Delco trailers, that are just marked down. Really, really good deals. Stop by and check them out, okay? And they have all sorts of other things going on at Two Dogs Fabricating. They're the exclusive Southern Oregon North Star dealer. And if you don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will custom build a flatbed made to your specifications, okay? Today's dad joke, what's the difference between a well-dressed man on a bicycle and a poorly dressed man on a tricycle? A tire. There's our dad joke of the day. Here we go, Two Dogs.
Two Dogs Fabricating fall blowout sale on their remaining Delco trailer inventory continues, with just a couple of heavy-duty Delco 14-foot dump trailers left, and they're $1,500 off the regular price. If you're sniffing around for a new dump trailer, Two Dogs is the place you'll find it, with a new shipment of heavy-duty Horizon.
20 before 8, Friday morning. Joining me is Richard Emmons, who is the editor and the publisher of the Oregon Eagle, Rogue Valley Edition. Just got my copy in the mail yesterday. Came in there. There it is. And, I got to tell you, I just wish all the Rogue Valley papers were kind of like yours here, Richard. But then I guess that would, I guess I wouldn't make you special anymore. But anyway, welcome back to the show. Always good having you on.
Hey, Bill. It's great to be back.
Boy, must have worked your tail off to get this election edition in there. My gosh, it's just election story after election story. I mean, this is, you're telling me you dropped 100,000 of these out there in mailboxes? How do you do something like that? That's a huge number of copies. What's the story?
Yeah, like I said, it's been a tremendous effort. It's worth the effort. And we can talk about that in a couple of minutes. But yeah, we sent out over 100,000 Oregon Eagles throughout all of Oregon, all 36 counties. You know, we got the voter roll, and we went through and picked likely Republican voters and sent them free samples mm-hmm. of the Eagle in hopes that they'll subscribe. It's a little bit like tasting the cheese at Costco. You want people to try it, and those that like it will like it. And
except you got to remember the cheese at Costco is liberal cheese, okay? Kirkland, remember Kirkland. But I know you're not liberal cheese. I know that.
No. But we also, you know, unexpectedly, we have our finger on the pulse of active Republican voters that have left the state because we're getting calls and emails from irate non-active Republican voters that are very upset at receiving the Oregon Eagle and are telling us to never send it to them again. So I guess we're over the target.
Okay, I imagine so. Well, I appreciate what you're doing here. I really do. You have an op-ed piece in there, which I think is quite thought-provoking. Is Oregon a one-party state? And I couldn't help but nod in agreement with a lot of what you're talking about. Because I'm looking at what happened yesterday, the announcement. I know this happened, was it Wednesday night or Thursday night? I think it was Wednesday night that first happened. I had a listener who emailed me a screenshot of Kim Wallen, State Rep Kim Wallen, endorsing the hard left Democrat, Tobias Reid, for Secretary of State. And I thought it was fake. I literally thought it was a fake graphic and someone was trying to screw with things. And so I actually sent that to Representative Wallen and said, hey, you know, if this is, you know, false, I just want to make sure you know this is making the rounds. And then I found out I was on Tobias's Facebook page, even though it wasn't on his website at that point. And it sort of astounded me a bit here, and it disturbed me a bit. It's like, all right, you didn't like Senator Linthicum. I don't know. I think it would have been better just to have been quiet. That's just my opinion. I don't know what the motivation is. She's not responded to me, you know, yet from the email. So it kind of goes down this party deal you're talking about, one party state. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a connection there. I mean, I've kind of known in the back of my head, you just pay attention, that it's been a while, you know, since we've had a Democrat governor. And then as I started doing the research, you realize that we haven't had a Republican governor since 1987. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had a Democrat Secretary of State since 1985, except for 4 years when Dennis Richardson was elected Secretary of State. That's since 1985. And the Attorney General has been a Democrat since 1993, ditto on the Democrat Treasurer, 1993. And, you know, the control in the Oregon Senate since 2005, and that's almost 20 years. And then the House of Representatives since 2007. So they've had a couple years for the House where there are equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, but and then all seven justices on the Oregon Supreme Court were appointed by Democrat governors. And that there hasn't been, you know, if you don't have a Republican governor, then you're not going to appoint judges to the Oregon Supreme Court.
And by the way, Richard, this is why I've taken issue with Governor Kotek stepping into the District 11 Jackson County Circuit Court Judge Position 11 race, because it was just created. And 60 days before an election in which you could have had two attorneys just duking it out to become judge, she decides to appoint one of them. And it's like, it makes no sense. You can't help but think that this is part of that one-party state cabal control of everything in the state of Oregon.
Absolutely. I mean, look, to the degree it's a game, of life and death, mm-hmm. you know, literally in this state, and especially when you look at your paycheck or your property tax bill, I mean, your financial life and death. But they do know the rules. They know how to play the game, and they know, you know, call it a machine. They know how to get their people in power and promote them. I mean, to think that the last four governors weren't born in Oregon. Kotek wasn't born in Oregon. Brown wasn't born in Oregon. Kitzhaber wasn't born in Oregon. And Kuligowski wasn't born in Oregon. So it's like you got all these non-Oregonians that somehow come into the state and somehow make it to the top and they get elected governor. And, you know, and here we have it. So when I look at Representative Wallen endorsing him, I really scratch my head. I mean, it's like I endorsed her. You know, it's like, you know, it's like thinking, you know, because you read what she's done and it's like she's a Republican and, you know, you read her website and statements and, I mean, she's not a fighter like a Dwayne Yunker, you know, Representative Yunker. He's a fighter. He's not up there playing politics and trying to.
Dwayne Yunker is, I would argue that Dwayne Yunker is, and I say this admirably, all right, kind of like a junkyard dog. I'm going to go after you. You know what I'm getting at? That sort of thing.
Yes.
And I say that and not to cast aspersions. I love him. But that is very interesting. But it's harder to get the fighters on right now when you have these situations going on. Say what you will. I know Secretary of State candidate Linthicum has not raised a lot of money when you compare it to Tobias Reid. Tobias Reid is like the money font. I mean, every communist or hard Democratic group is in there. It's a gun-grabbing thing. I mean, everything is throwing money. And I don't know, is this another sign of the GOP surrender to the one-party state? You can't help but see it that way. Or maybe there's something else going on. It could be that maybe Representative Wallen doesn't run for re-election next time and wants to go to a different position that requires more of a bipartisan support because her current district is relatively safe for the GOP.
Yeah, well, it's safe for the GOP, but I have to tell you that, I mean, it may not be safe for the incumbent Republican in 2 years. We'll just see what happens in the next 2 years. I mean, I read lots of different news sources, and, you know, one of them had an article about how the Democrats' candidates, like Tobias Reid, you know, they'll tout an endorsement from Kim Wallen, but they don't tout an endorsement from Governor Kotek.
Oh, they're running far away from Governor Kotek. Really fast.
Yeah, so really bad. So, you know, and in Oregon, we don't have a lieutenant governor. So just like Secretary of State Kate Brown was inserted when they pushed out Governor Kitzhaber, that...
Well, could that be one of the reasons why there's such a focus on getting Tobias Reid in as Secretary of State? Because maybe Tina Kotek is past her sell-by date. And so she quits, and then, boom, all of a sudden, Secretary of State Tobias Reid, if he gets in there, becomes governor. Absolutely. What do you think?
Absolutely. There are certain parallels between what's happening in the White House and, you know, what's happening in, you know, the State House, because, you know, there was a coup against Biden after, you know, getting 14, 15 million votes in the primary, and then they insert Kamala Harris, the vice president, into that role.
Yeah, something tells me there's a little bit of buyer's remorse in spite of how weak Biden is. I think maybe he was the better candidate. I don't know. Start wondering.
No, yeah, well, I think they're wondering the same thing. You know, but the idea that one of the hardest questions for Harris to answer is, like, you got all these great ideas to solve all these problems in America with, you know, grocery prices and fuel prices and the immigration, the border's out of control. And she gets asked the question, well, you've been the vice president. Why didn't you do anything over the last 4 years? And she can't answer it. And the reality is that, see, the flip side of Democrat dominance in Oregon is that they need to own the results of all the bills they've passed and all the judges they've appointed. And because our laws in Oregon don't get passed unless the Speaker of the House and the President and the Senate say they're going to get a floor vote. And if those two individuals, of which Tina Kotek was Speaker of the House for 9 years, they don't get a vote on the floor unless one of those two say, yes, that's a bill we support. So every bad bill that's been signed into a law by the Democrat governors that we live under, we can point back that those are done under Democrats.
And so one could then say, if people are upset about the way that Oregon has been going, I'm not talking about Republicans or conservatives, but if the regular rank and file Oregonians are upset and don't really like Governor Kotek all that much, why do they continue to vote the same way and keep it a one-party state rather than looking at alternatives? It's a reasonable question, wouldn't you think, Richard?
Yeah, it's a reasonable question. And in a certain sense, there's multiple levels of voting, okay? Mm-hmm. You vote for which party you support when you register to vote. And there are more, you know, non-aligned voters, independent voters in Oregon than are Democrats that are registered. I mean, it's, you know, you see that in many parts of the state, that people aren't choosing the Democrat Party. And to some degree, they're not choosing the Republican Party either, because they're looking for change, and maybe they don't see either side. I mean, when, you know, again, what Representative Wallen did doesn't help the Republican brand when she endorses the treasurer of Oregon for 8 years, who's overseen the $28 billion unfunded pension PERS, and he hasn't done anything about that. He hasn't broadcasted that. They've had all this tax money come in, record income taxes and so forth, but they've spent it all on new programs. They haven't spent it to reduce the PERS deficit. In fact, in the last legislative session, they expanded PERS benefits for the people hired since 2003. So it's, you know, for if you're in law enforcement. And, you know, anyway, they're just making the problem worse. But see, I look at this as an opportunity for limited government Republicans that want to make a change in Salem and to get this word out, because they need to just publicize these problems. The problems that we have in our local public schools, are, you can tie some of them back to the sanctuary state laws, which allows lots of immigrants to come in. I mean, I looked it up before we got on the call, but your listeners can go to schools.oregonlive.com, mm-hmm. and that's done by the Oregonian. And just as examples of the impact of immigration on public schools, At Grants Pass High School, they speak 11 languages, and 6% are English learners, which must be mean that English is their second language. North Medford High School, 19 languages are spoken, 18% are English learners. And Franklin High School in Portland, it seems mind-boggling, 33 languages are spoken, 24% are English learners.
But you see, the concern about that is that we're not talking about 33 different types of language courses going on, right? Like hey, we have all of these electives for you to take. This is, you know, these are teachers who have to speak this language just to try to get the student up to snuff at speaking English in the United States school system, right? It's like Tim Walz talking about, oh, we got like 60 or 70 languages spoken in these schools. That's not a good thing. It's not helpful. Yeah. You know?
It's not a good thing. I mean, the thing is, so it's like common sense is like, if my whole extended family decided to move to Mexico, I mean, would they teach my grandkids English?
Absolutely not.
To Russia? Absolutely. No way.
They'd be telling you, you better learn, you better learn Spanish, gringo. Okay. That's just the bottom line. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of the problems that when you look at, you know, the test scores, the standardized test scores, they haven't come back since the pre-COVID levels. They're still really low. We have an article about that in the Eagle this time. But part of the problem is from the immigration and the schools. And I mean, they're happy to get somebody to sit in the classroom because they get money for that.
Yeah, but even then, we still have attendance is down. Attendance is still down in multiple school systems. I know Three Rivers School has a school bond up. They're going again. Their registration is down. Medford 549C down. Everyone's down, but yet they're often looking for more tax money right now. What do you think's driving that?
Well, I just think that people are waking up, and well-intentioned voters elect well-intentioned school board members, mm-hmm. but they get in and we have Salem control. We don't have local control. So the Oregon public schools are run by the governor. You know, since 2012, we have not had an elected, you know, chief of public instructor here in Oregon. It's under the direct control of the Democrat governor. And we see the results. I mean, Kotek, she doesn't have children in the system. And it shows. So we have this system of top-down control when it comes to everything from land use to the building codes to, you know, just everything, the drug laws, you know, it all comes down, and it's all, in my view, I'm not painting Democrat voters necessarily, but the Democrat leaders that are elected and are in charge, and the governor appoints people to lots of different commissions, they run the show, and, you know, they're the ones that should get full credit for how wonderful Oregon is and all these different areas.
Yeah, or full blame for it, as the case might be, even looking at the Oregon education system's rankings, all right? Richard Emmons is the publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. And by the way, the Rogue Valley edition is out there. 100,000 or so of these have been hitting the mailboxes. And where do you have it available, maybe in some various stores? Any idea on that, Richard, where people can get them?
We had been delivering a lot of them around the Rogue Valley when we expanded into Curry and Jackson counties. But right now, it's at the Josephine County Republicans in Josephine County, and then at the Central Point Chamber of Commerce. So we did drop some there. But primarily, you know, we want people to subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, just let us know when you subscribe, and we'll send you a free copy of the October issue as an extra bonus. We need people to subscribe. I mean, it's $39 a year, 11 cents per day to help flip Oregon red again.
All right, and appreciate where you're going with this. The other thing I'd mention, though, is that, you know, going back to your op-ed about one state, and then we brought up Representative Wallen's situation here, and disappointed, I guess, is the, you know, way to do it. But there does appear to be very much a political Stockholm syndrome, and maybe it's about keeping your PAC money. Maybe it's about, all right, I'm going to run for a statewide office, and I'm looking for a favor in the future, Tobias, we don't know. The point being, though, is that when you talk about, well, I don't see parties, I see the people, which was the reason given here. Dennis Linthicum, for whatever faults, because we're all flawed, Dennis Linthicum would actually have election integrity reform. And I will almost guarantee you Tobias Reid is going to go nowhere near repealing some of those rules that have brought us very opaque election systems in the state of Oregon. What would you say? I'll give you the final word on it.
Well, absolutely, because just like he was term limited as treasurer, he's term limited as secretary of state, and the next job is governor. To get the governorship, you can't upset the status quo in Salem. You've got to maintain the status quo, protect the status quo, and enable the status quo. And a Republican secretary of state, Dennis Linthicum, would help balance the political power in Salem so that we can have somebody watching the governor and the legislature and to make sure that the laws are properly being enforced and that we have fair and free elections.
All right. Very good. See, those are the kind of people we need more rather than the compromisers. OK, yeah, the compromisers and going along with the Democrats to get along are not necessarily helping us actually improve the situation that we have right now. Richard, I thank you so much and good having you on and best of luck on the Oregon Eagle. OK, oh, before you do take off here. What are your thoughts of Rogue Valley Times getting sold to Carpenter Media Group, the EO Media Group, sold to Carpenter? That happened the other day. I don't know much about Carpenter. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't know. I know that they were, they slimmed down and they were putting themselves up for sale. And, there's still people out in the business that, that believe in the online news and the local news and also print news. And they're playing that, and hopefully they'll make it more efficient and make a go of it. But we'll just watch and wait and see what happens on that. That's a big change for a lot of Eastern Oregon. They have a lot of different papers. They have 14 or 15 different newspapers, and we'll see where they end up.
All right. Well, we'll have you back on when they do, okay? You take care, and thank you, Richard. Take care.
Thanks, Bill.
It's 8 o'clock, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Rev up your engines, folks. America.